Amen. So we're spending just a couple of weeks here at West End looking at forgiveness, how we practice forgiveness, and what God does when we forgive each other. So this morning we're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to look together at Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Welcome to pull out your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18. You're welcome to pull out the Bible app on your phones. If you have that, you can go to the Events tab, the More button, then click on Events. You can follow along with the PowerPoint that way as well. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus has just begun by having this long section where he's talking with his disciples about how the church is going to do and be community together. That is, when somebody screws up, when somebody upsets you, when somebody wrongs you, how do you respond? This is the difficult reality of doing and being church together, that we don't always do it perfectly. The body of believers, the followers of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven sinners. We are becoming new people, but we're not there yet. And so Jesus tells his disciples, hey, when somebody wrongs you, when somebody upsets you, we don't talk about it behind each other's back. We don't just stew on it and let it fester and just say that we're fine when we're not. No, Jesus says, you go and you talk to each other. We deal with each other face to face. We have these difficult and yet necessary conversations of doing life together. But the reality is that sometimes once isn't enough. Sometimes we end up needing to have that same conversation with somebody again. Sometimes we make mistakes more than once. And so the question that is before the disciples in today's conversation is how do you deal with it when somebody screws up more than once? And so Peter comes to Jesus and he asks, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Right? So Jesus has just been having this conversation about how to handle it when somebody wrongs you. And so Peter says, well, okay, Jesus, so I need to go talk to somebody directly, but how many times do I have to forgive them? And I love how Peter handles this, right? He says, up to seven times. See, this is a conversation that rabbis would have with their followers. We know this, that there is some rabbinical literature from around the time of Jesus that asks this very question. How often do you have to forgive somebody? And the conventional answer that was given by rabbis in the day of Jesus was that you needed to forgive somebody three times. Right? Three strikes and you're out. Third time you screw up, sorry, I'm done. Right, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. I guess fool me a third time, still shame on you. Fool me four times, you're done. So Peter here, he's being extra spiritual, right? He says, "Well, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? Seven times, right?" He's going above and beyond what's expected of him. You know, he says, Jesus, I'm starting to understand this whole grace thing that you've been talking about. Peter is starting to get the sense of what Jesus has spent all of his time and energy teaching them and demonstrating that to them and showing his disciples. He's starting to get it, that grace is not earned, that it's all about just continuing to love and embrace each other. He's starting to get it. So he goes above and beyond what the rabbinical answer was. He says, so not three times, but he says, do I have to forgive somebody up to seven times? Now, numbers in the Bible are not always about the actual number of times. Right? The number seven in particular is one of the most common numbers throughout Scripture. And when the number seven shows up in the Bible, it usually is a stand-in for God. Right? Seven is a number that represents the fullness of God. So Peter isn't just going above and beyond. He's not just being an overachiever here. He's he's spiritualizing things, right? Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive somebody until I'm like God? I really connect with Peter, by the way. Maybe it's partially because I'm a bit of an overachiever. Maybe it's partially because I like to show off a little bit too much sometimes. Maybe partially it's because I want to sort of show, like, Jesus, I'm getting it. I want to feel affirmed, right? I want to demonstrate that I'm starting to understand. I'm starting to get it. So the values that Jesus has, I want to say, see, Jesus, I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to get it, right? Aren't I a good boy? Don't I have it? Right? I resonate with Peter here because this is the spirit with which Peter comes with this question. He's trying to show off that he's willing to go above and beyond. He's trying to demonstrate that he's starting to understand the heart of this Jesus guy that he has been following. But Jesus responds, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. Now, some of us have learned this 77 times. Some of us have learned this 70 times 7. Either way, in Greek, the numbers, the way they're written, it's not always perfectly clear. The Greek is hebdemokantakis hepta, and it can be either 77 or 70 times 7. Either way, it works. For clarity, I'm going to say 77. I don't think it actually makes much of a difference in interpreting this passage, as long as we're consistent. But we have to see what Jesus is doing here, though. When he says, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. See, I always read this like Jesus was rebuking Peter, right? Like he's saying, no, Peter, you've got it wrong. But I thought about something this week, and that's I thought about improv comedy. Right? Improv comedy, if you ever watch a show like Saturday Night Live, or if you go to an improv comedy show at a theater in Chicago or Detroit, or go to the River City Improv or something like that, the number one rule of improv is called yes and. Yes and, right? When you are in the middle of a improv sketch, if your teammate offers an idea, you know, sets the stage and somehow, right? If one member of the troupe says, oh, hey, isn't it nice to be out here in space? The other person doesn't get to go, we're not in space, we're in France, right? That's not how improv works. That'd be a terrible scene. If this person says, isn't it nice out here in space? The other person says, it is lovely out here in space. Look at the moon, right? It's yes and. Whatever ideas somebody offers in a scene, you say yes to it, and then you build off of it. And I think that when we look at what Jesus is doing here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, as not necessarily rebuking or denying what Peter says, but yes-anding it, building off of that, we see something a little bit different, right? Because what we said was Peter, that number 7 represents God. It represents the perfection of God. So Peter says, do I have to forgive somebody until I'm like God? And Jesus says, yes, and more so, right? 77 times. You have to do it until you are perfectly like God. You have to do it until you are God in human form, like he is. 77 or 70 times 7 would be God, godliness to the godly degree. In other words, when Jesus says, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times, he's saying, when you think you have forgiven somebody as much as God would forgive, keep forgiving. When you think you've forgiven somebody with a heart like God's, keep forgiving. When you think that you have reached the end of what would be expected of you, keep forgiving. When you think that you have reached the point where you are living and being and thinking and loving and forgiving like God, keep loving, forgiving, and living like God. In other words, this 77 or 70 times 7, it's not, well, I forgive you, 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 up until 49 or 77 or 490 times. No, what Jesus is saying here is that this forgiveness that is asked of us, the forgiveness that is like God, is a forgiveness that never runs out. A forgiveness that never stops because God's forgiveness and love for us never stops and never runs out. Because God's forgiveness for us is never done forgiving us. That God's forgiveness of us never looks at us and says, no, you are done. You have run out of the amount of forgiveness I'm willing to offer you. No, just as God's forgiveness is like that, so too our forgiveness is to be unending. Like God. But I think there's more here in this idea of 77 times forgiving someone. And to get that, we need to go all the way back to the very beginning of the story. All the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, right? In the very beginning of Scripture, God creates everything good and beautiful and wonderful, and everything is in perfect relationship with God and with each other and with creation. But then humanity sins, right? Humanity rejects God. Humanity chooses its own path. And so God kicks those first humans, Adam and Eve, out of the garden. And Adam and Eve have kids. They have sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel both bring God sacrifices, but Abel brings it with a willing heart, and Cain brings it with a stingy heart. So God accepts Abel's sacrifice, but rejects Cain's. Cain gets jealous, and he kills his brother. And so God kicks Cain out and makes him a wanderer. Right, we see at the very beginning a tension between two paths, right? The path of Cain that continues this self-destructive path, the path of Cain that continues to demonstrate and live out sin and death. The path that embodies the brokenness and fallenness of the world. Well, if we go seven generations out from Cain and seven generations out from his brother Seth, if we follow those out, we arrive at two men named Lamech and Enoch. And Lamech and Enoch embody these two different paths, the reality of the goodness of God's creation and the fallenness and brokenness of the world. Because seven generations out from Seth, when we arrive at Enoch, we hear just one simple note about this man named Enoch, that he walked with God and then he was no more. But seven generations out from Cain, we see the end results of the brokenness and fallenness of the world when Lamech sings this song to his wives. He says, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. And in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, 77, once again, hebdemokantakis, hepta. The same as in Matthew chapter 18. See, our world exists with a tension between the way that things are supposed to be and the reality of the way things are. Between the way that God created everything to be in perfect relationship with Him and everything in unity and love and the reality of the fall, the reality of brokenness, the reality of self-centered choices, actions, and habits. And the end result of that brokenness and that fallenness is a system of justice that looks like Lamech. You get me, I'll get you back worse. You wound me, I'll kill you. You see, when Jesus and Peter have this conversation in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus taps into one of the biggest problems in all of creation, and that is the brokenness of this world and the reality that left to our own devices, we end up where Lamech does. Left to our own devices, we end up so focused on protecting ourselves and protecting what we want and protecting what we think we need that we end up with a system of justice that looks like Lamech, that just is concerned only with how we take care of ourselves. At the heart of the universe is a tension between the way things are, the way things ought to be, the way things God created them to be, and the way things are. And the way that God goes about fixing what's broken is by forgiveness. Not 7 times. But 77 times. Because the forgiveness that Jesus Christ is going to offer us is going to undo the very fabric of the brokenness in our world. The forgiveness that Jesus is going to offer us is going to be enough to bind up even the tears and the fabric of creation that have been there from the moment that Adam and Eve sinned. And it's as Jesus is dying on the cross that he looks at those who are crucifying him. He looks at those who are taking his life. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." See, friends, forgiveness isn't just about something that's about making relationships better between me and you. Forgiveness isn't just about healing ourselves and making ourselves feel better. No, friends, when we forgive each other, we tap into the means by which God Himself is fixing what's broken in the world. When we forgive each other, we join what God is doing to fix what's broken in this world. When we forgive each other, we become a part of this project of what God has been doing to undo the effects of sin and the curse of the fall all the way back to the very beginning. That as Lamech represents this system of vengeance and justice that looks like getting what I want at the expense of somebody else, that looks like you hurt me and I'm going to hurt you worse. As Lamech says, "I'll be avenged 77 times. Jesus says, every time that Lamech is avenged, I'm going to forgive him. For every impact of sin, for every ounce of brokenness in this world, for every square inch of the reality of sin and darkness in our lives, the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers us is enough to make it right. The forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers us is enough to heal it and make it the way that things are closer to the way things are supposed to be. And so when we forgive each other, we join what God is doing. When we forgive each other, it's a way of participating in this project of fixing what's broken in the world. See, we have lots of ways that we think we can change the world. Some of us think that we change the world by donating large sums of money to different organizations. Some of us think we change the world by getting involved in politics. Some of us think we change the world through any number of different things that we think bring about that change. But what we see here in Matthew chapter 18 is that one of the most powerful, simple ways that you change the world, that I change the world, is by forgiving each other. Because when we forgive each other, we refuse to let the reality of brokenness win in our lives. When we forgive each other, we refuse to let sin take its hold over our heart. When we forgive each other, we acknowledge that the grace of Jesus Christ was enough for me, and therefore, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, I will pour out that same grace into your life. When we forgive each other, we acknowledge that we are becoming this new person who God is inviting us to be, and we're not there yet, but we're on our way. When we forgive each other, we become a part of this much bigger project that God has been working at from the very beginning, to restore all of creation into right relationship with Him. Peter comes to Jesus and says, How often do I need to forgive somebody? And Peter tries to go the extra mile. Peter tries to be a little extra spiritual. Peter tries to show off. How often do I forgive somebody? And Jesus says, you forgive somebody until Satan is vanquished. And Jesus is king. Peter says, how often do I forgive somebody? And Jesus says, until the world has been made perfect again. Peter says, how often do I forgive somebody? And Jesus says, until you are like God in true righteousness and holiness. Peter says, how often do I forgive somebody? And Jesus says, until every knee shall bow and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord. Peter says, how often do I forgive somebody? And Jesus says, as long as it takes until you are that new person that God is creating you to be. Peter says, how often do I forgive somebody? And Jesus says, until every square inch of creation cries out, Jesus is Lord. But friends, the good news is that when we forgive each other, the well of forgiveness will not run dry. There is always more forgiveness to be offered. Because God has never stopped forgiving us. Because God has never stopped forgiving humanity. The well of forgiveness will never run dry. The power of forgiveness will never come up short. Forgiveness is the means by which God is fixing what's broken everywhere. And so, friends, it can be enough to fix what's broken in my heart, in my family, in my friendships, in our church, and in our community. Let's pray. God, the forgiveness that you offer us brings us to new life and sets us on the path towards the people that you have called and created us to be. And so, God, we pray that you would equip us to offer that same forgiveness to each other. God, help us to forgive each other until we become like you. God, help us to love each other with the same sort of love that you have for us. And God, help us to be a part of this big project of fixing what's broken everywhere. And may our forgiveness of each other and our willingness to forgive again and again God, may it be a means of joining your work in this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we all say together, amen.